on the back of the program here. Scripture reading, Hebrews 11, 17 through 22. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones.
Good morning again. I think it'd be remiss if I didn't say anything about the whole Jeff Sessions thing and the immigration, I don't know what to call it, crisis we have. You know, this is not my lane, so I'm going to stay in my lane and not talk too much about politics. You know, I'm not well-versed in politics. I did listen to the whole Jeff Sessions thing. I don't know if you guys got to listen to it or just heard, yeah, you know, that he used scripture references to back up what he was doing. So I had to listen to the whole thing myself, and it's a complicated issue if you listen to what the issues are. And I'm just going to say this. I don't think it was appropriate for him to use those scripture verses to back up policy. I don't think that's ever a thing government should do. I mean, we've seen governments do that before and use it for the wrong purposes. And so when Paul, you know, tells the people in Rome or in the book of Romans to, you know, submit to the authorities, he was writing to the church and not necessarily to the people in authority. And so I don't think the people in authority should invoke that scripture verse to back up what they're doing. And that's all I'm going to say. Does that make sense? You know, it's okay for, if Sessions was a pastor and he was telling his congregation, hey, let's, you know, we don't agree with the government, but, you know, let's submit to their authority. That's fine. But as Sessions being in the place of power, I don't think he should be invoking that, saying, hey, the Bible says this, so you got to do what we say, kind of thing. And so and then he used a Nehemiah passage, and I just think that was just not appropriate at all. But in terms of that, in terms of how he used scripture, if you understand where I'm standing, in terms of how he used it, I don't think it's appropriate. A lot of evangelicals have come out and said same things that they don't agree with it. I'm just telling you why I don't agree with how he used it. With that said, you know, I'm going to get to my message. That's all I have to say about that. Well, one more thing. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for the situation. Let's pray for the children. I mean, it's, even if it's only 2 to 3 weeks they're away from their parents, that's a long time. You know, if you're a parent, you understand. I'm not a parent, so I don't understand, but I could just imagine being 2 or 3 weeks away from my puppy, and I would be devastated. No, but, you know, and vice versa, not just the parents, but the kids. Imagine being 2 or 3 weeks away from your parents, not knowing what's going on. It's just a big mess right now. So it's a complicated issue. Let's pray for wisdom for the government, how to best handle the situation. So as a church, I think that's what we're called to do, is pray for these things. Anyways, we're going through the book of Hebrews, and this is a portion of scripture where it talks about testing. So pop quiz. You guys ready for this? Name all 12 disciples. Anyone?
Before or after the death?
Before, the one Jesus himself. The one included, Judas included.
Judas.
Judas. He's the first one. Okay.
Matthew, Mark, the other two, Matthew. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's okay. You guys all failed. No. You know, tests, I don't know if whenever you hear test, what kind of emotions that evokes. Certainly you weren't expecting to be tested when you came here. Normally, you know when a test is coming up, right? Tests are oftentimes something we schedule for. Here, Abraham is tested. And so I want to talk a little bit about faith. Faith as an answer to the test. I'm giving you the answer key ahead of time. Faith is the answer to the test. Anyways, it starts off verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son. The NASB says only begotten son to make the obvious connection there, but the ESV says offer up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Abraham at this time was fairly old, over 100, maybe, you know, some say 120, meaning Isaac was probably in his 20s at the time when Abraham tested this. There's some people say this. So it's an interesting story. But imagine that. Only after impossible circumstances, Abraham finally sees a glimpse of the promise God gave him about being a father of many nations through the birth of Isaac. So Abraham at 75, he's given a promise. You're going to become a father of many nations. We talked about that last week. And you could imagine what was going through Abraham's head. Okay, I'm going to be a father of many nations. I'm going to have a lot of kids right away. Not the case. 25 years pass before he finally has a child that is considered the child of the promise. He had another child called Ishmael that God rejected, but he would have another child 25 years after the promise is stated. Imagine that. If I promised you something, and it took me 25 years to come through with that promise, how many of you guys would still be around? Other than my wife, you know. She has no choice. I promise you something, and after 5 years, I still didn't make good on the promise, and you're probably like, you know, you probably say forget about it. You know, God here took 25 years, and finally, Isaac is born, the promise. Impossible circumstances, God can do miracles. And it was through this Isaac that God would fulfill his covenant with Abraham. However, after, you know, maybe 20 years pass, God comes to Abraham. See, Abraham, how have you been? I'm doing great. Have one kid. doing great. And God says to Abraham, I want you to give me something. And Abraham's probably like, anything. You know, you've given me servants, you've given me this child, you've given me cattle, you've given me so much. What can I give back to you? Whatever you want, God. And God says, I want an offering. Sure. And I want you to offer Isaac. Ugh. I mean, as great as Abraham is and was, that must have been a blow. You know, one of those gut, like visceral, your gut literally falls kind of thing, blow. Now, you know, again, last week I mentioned that Abraham is considered the father of faith. And I believe he's called the father of faith for a couple reasons. One, he's a father of faith because God made the covenant with Abraham. But I also believe, this is just my opinion, he is a father of faith because his faith is like a template to everyone else who would come under the Abrahamic covenant. meaning you and I who are in faith with God, who has faith in God, will probably, not to the degree of Abraham, but go through similar things that Abraham had to go through. For example, God will give you a promise. There's a waiting period for that promise. God fulfills the promise, kind of thing. And if that is the case, if God, Abraham is a father of faith and his life is like a template, then I believe eventually you and I will be tested. You and I will be tested. In our lifetimes, I believe we will be tested in a similar way Abraham was. No, it most likely won't be the offering up of your child. So, you know, don't do that. You know, don't offer people up. But it will be a sacrifice. When God tests, oftentimes it will be a sacrifice of something we love. Giving up of something we love. We're tested all the time, by the way. I believe we're tested all the time. Just to go on a sort of a bunny trail, I believe we're tested all the time. We're tested when we have plenty, and we're tested when we're in want. Different kind of test. We're always going through a different kind of test. There's going to be, you could say America is in a test right now. As a nation that people want to go into, come into, America will be tested on how they treat this situation. There may be a time when Americans want to go through to another place. Hopefully that will never come, but there may be a time when America is not safe anymore and we want to migrate somewhere else. And the test is always different. The test is always different between those in power and those who are not. But we're always being tested. Of course, when you're in power, you know, the test is how generous are you going to be? How benevolent are you going to be? I believe that's the test when you're in power. When you're not in power, the test is more how much do you have faith in God? How much do you trust in God? And probably, most likely, how grateful are you for the things you do have? You know, that's probably one of the tests that those who are not in power will have to go through, is how grateful are you? Moving on, scripture, it says, he, Abraham, considered that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. I'm assuming you guys know the story, but perhaps I should just give a summation of the story. So Abraham, he has a child, Isaac. They grow, they have probably a great life together. Isaac is probably in his 20s now. Abraham is 120 now. And God says to Abraham, I want you to give up Isaac. And so they go together to a mountain. Well, there's a caravan first to go to the mountain. And then Abraham tells the caravan, the servants, you guys wait here. We're going to go sacrifice. We're going to go worship. You gotta understand back then, whenever you worshiped, there's always an offering. Always. Whether it's grain, animal, etc. And Abraham had nothing except Isaac. And they went up the mountain, and the servants are probably thinking, hey, you know, what's going on here? Like, they don't have anything to offer up. Well, what's going on? But they stay. The two go up. As they go up, Isaac notices it too. And Isaac says, hey, Dad, we're going to worship, we're going to sacrifice. What's the sacrifice? Isaac says, what's the sacrifice? Abraham was like, God will show up. And he says, okay. They get to the place, nothing still, nothing. Isaac's like, okay, they probably build an altar, you know. And Abraham's like, hey, son, can you hand me that rope? And he's like, okay, what's going on? Can you put your hand behind your back? And he starts tying Isaac up. He literally ties Isaac up. Isaac is strong enough to resist. He's 20. Abraham is 120. So if Isaac wanted, he probably could have said, Dad, you're senile. Get away from me. If you touch me, I'm going to have to beat you up, kind of thing. He could have said that. He could have thought that. In fact, that's probably a normal thing to think, you know, Dad, you're senile. You're not, you know, you're doing something crazy. But he doesn't. Isaac is tested as well. You see the test. Abraham is tested. How much does he trust God with this? Isaac is tested. How much do you trust your dad with this? And Isaac does not put up a fight. It does, the scripture doesn't say anything about Isaac putting up a fight. He's tied up, put on the altar. Abraham gets his knife. He's about to slay Isaac. And an angel of the Lord says, stop. Stop. I think he had to say it twice too. You know, maybe Abraham was hard of hearing, but you know, he had to say it twice. And he stops. And the Lord says to Abraham, now I know that you have faith in me, kind of thing. And then God brings an offering, and they're like a ram in the thicket, and he offers that up. That's the story in a nutshell. But it says here, there's commentary in Hebrew says, the reason why Abraham was able to do this is because he considered that God was able to even to raise him from the dead. Abraham was thinking, well, if this is the promise, and God wants me to offer up the promise, I've seen so many miracles that God's done. Even if he dies, God can raise him up to life. Whenever we face a test in life, and just this is just generally, whenever we face tests in life, it's usually for the purpose of coming into the next phase in our life, or for the purpose of seeing if we're trustworthy. It's usually, you know, for most of us, only time we're tested is maybe in school we're tested. We got some professors here, I'm sure. You give tests to see if they learned and if they're able to move on to the next, you know, course or whatever it is. Just a commentary on tests in America. I think that sort of the tests we have in America oftentimes are more hypothetical, right? It's just like hypothetical things. You don't even need to believe it. You just need to know the right answers. You don't have to have conviction of these things. It's just like, okay, here's what you're going to be tested on. This is what I want to hear from you guys. And if you guys know this, you pass the test. No conviction. You don't need to believe what it is that you're writing down. You just have to know what it is that the professor wants you to write down. So that's sort of the test we're most kin to, we're used to. Here, obviously in scripture, that's not how it is. You know, when you're tested, it's not like what I did in the beginning of the message. It's not a question of, do you know the answer to this question? When we're tested as Christians, it's, you know, the answer to the question is more secondary. It's what are you going to do in that situation you're in? What is your attitude going to be like? What are your thoughts focused on? When we're tested, those are the things God measures. It doesn't matter if you know the answer is Jesus. You know, a lot of times the answer is Jesus. If I ask you a question, probably the answer is Jesus. It doesn't matter if you know that. What matters is what happens. What is squeezed out of you? What is your emotions like? What are your emotions like? What are your attitudes like? How do you respond in those situations? Are you thankful? Are you grateful? Are you bitter? Are you angry? By the way, God knows the answer of how you're going to act before you do it. So oftentimes when we're tested, it's not so that God is like, oh, now I know how you're going to act. It's probably more for us how we're going to act so that we know what's inside of ourselves. You've been tested like that before? Have you been tested to the point it's like, I didn't know that was in me. Wow, I didn't know that was in me. You guys, has that ever happened to you? Yeah. Happens to us all the time. And then God is like, that was in you. Now we could deal with this. I'm thinking whether I should share a test that I failed.
Yes.
Okay. It was in English class, and I was supposed to write a research paper, and I didn't write a well-written research paper. No, just kidding. let's see. All right, fine. I'll share with you the test that I came into a place in my life where just financially I was not doing well, and Although, in perspective, I was doing better than I've ever done in my life, financially. But at the moment of, I've been doing the best I've been doing in my entire life, I was not doing well in that moment, if that makes sense. You know, it was way better than when I was like minimum wage or working at a stationery store kind of thing. My finances were way better than that, but then I've come to, you know, have a standard of living because of the blessings God gave me that I was falling below that standard of living. And I was angry at God. How many of you know when God blesses you sometimes and your life goes below that standard of living, you kind of get angry at God? Well, I got angry at God. And I didn't know how angry at God I was. And I got to the point where I couldn't pay my bills. I couldn't pay my DirecTV bill. I couldn't pay my electric bill. Anyways, there's probably a lot of things I could have cut out of my life. But, you know, again, standard living. I couldn't meet the standard living. And I didn't know where the money was going to come from. I just didn't know. And I tried a lot of things to make up the difference, but I just couldn't make up the difference. And one day, I came back from something, going back into the house, and God said, check the mail. Something like that. I was like, check the mail, you know? You guys ever hear stories of checks in the mail that comes right at the right time kind of thing? And it was, check the mailbox. And you know how I responded? I was like, yes, finally, God. God answered all my prayers. No, it was, check the mail. And I said in my heart, you better show me something. In such a defiant way to God, as if he owed me something. You better show me something. And I checked the mail, and there was a check in the mail. And the check in the mail, it covered the difference. Even though I kind of failed that test, God did not fail me. Here, Abraham probably had so many of those experiences in his life. By the time God came to Abraham and said, offer up Isaac, he was like, okay, that's simple. I've already seen you work so many miracles in my life. This is nothing for God. This is nothing for God. And so as we go through tests in our own lives, we're going to fail. Abraham has failed plenty of times. If you read the story of Abraham, he failed plenty of times. But finally, this one last test we see in his life, he passes with flying colors. And it's interesting that what God records in the book of Hebrews, the one we're reading right now, is a time when he passes the test. Isn't God great? He could have mentioned all the time Abraham failed. He doesn't. What's mentioned in God's records book is the time he passed. God is a gracious God. Let me just say this. Faith is the key to passing any test. Put your faith in God. Put your faith in God. God tested Abraham to see if he was trustworthy. Interestingly enough, to pass the test, Abraham needed to make up his mind that God is trustworthy. God would test us to see if we're trustworthy. But to pass the test, we need to be convicted that God is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. You know, a younger Abraham probably would not have passed that test. Reason why he could pass that test, one, first and foremost, is faith. He had faith in God. He trusted God. He trusted his intentions, his motives. You could say Abraham needed humility. He didn't know how it was going to happen. He never did, and even in this Isaac situation, he didn't know what was going to happen, but he trusted God. He thought in his mind, well, I guess Isaac could rise from, he could be resurrected. That's what he thought. That's not what actually happened, though. Faith, humility, trusting in God. But also, if we move on to the next passage, it says, these are his prodigies. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. That's Isaac's kids. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. All of these people lived by faith in a similar faith to Abraham. And what that similarity to all these people, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all of these people, do you know what the similarity is in their life? A couple of similarities. One, they died before they saw the fullness of the promise. They died before they saw the fullness of promise. And let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, let's just turn there real quick to Hebrews chapter 11. The similarity is they all died before. But also, they had eternity in perspective. They had eternity in perspective. Verse 10 says, "For he, Abraham, was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." They were looking for a city, not of this world, but a city who God is the foundation, designer, and builder. They had eternity in perspective. And when we begin to see the world through God's eyes, we will live differently. Period. If we live through the eyes and the lens of eternity, our lives will be lived differently. Our thoughts, our perspectives, our understanding. come from a different perspective, our choices will be different if we have that. Let me just continue to read in Hebrews. In 13, verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised. They died before God answered the promise on this side of eternity. But having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, for people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Abraham realized God is going to make me a father of many nations. I have one child of that. Most likely, it's not on this side of eternity that I will see the fulfillment of this promise. And from that point on, he started living for a city whose foundation is God, whose builder and architect is God himself. And all of his sons, Isaac's son Jacob, Jacob's son Joseph, they all started seeing from the perspective of eternity. And because of that, they begin to live, if you will, prophetically, instead of for the here and now. And they eagerly looked forward to the city that God is preparing for them. God is testing us here to see if we're trustworthy with earthly riches, to see if we will be trustworthy when we get into the city that God has built with true riches. Jesus says, if you're not found trustworthy with these here, who will entrust to you true riches? There are true riches to be gained in heaven while living here on earth. Many of us, we squander our lives for the here and now, for the immediate pleasures, instead of delayed gratification. That God is saying that, you know what? This world you live in, live as a foreigner. I'm sure there's some tie-in with what I mentioned earlier about Jeff Sessions, but I'm not that smart. You guys can figure it out. But we are here as foreigners. And our true home is in heaven. That we will receive all that God has promised us on a future day, just like Abraham did. And I believe this too is something we should be looking forward to, the city of God, where our place and position in that city will be determined by how faithful, how trustworthy, how many tests we pass here on earth will determine our position and our place in the city of God. Let us pray. Some of you may be tested financially, like I was. Some of you may be tested with your family members. Some of you may be tested with your neighbors, co-workers, with your own body, your health. Some of you are tested in that area. Trust God in those areas. Trust God. May your attitude and behavior be one that reflects a gratefulness towards God, not like how I did. And if you find defiance in your own self, like I did, bring that before the Lord. So that when other tests come, you can pass. And God is so generous that He records those things that we pass, highlights those things. Father, I pray right now for each and every one of us who are going through difficulties in our life, whatever it may be, whatever form it may take, whatever promise it may be challenging. I pray, Father, that we would trust You, value You more than the promise itself. That our eyes and our hearts will be focused and fixed on You. I thank You so much for Your grace and mercy over our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.